fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to talk about the conversion of St. Paul. It's an amazing story in and of itself, but Paul's conversion can tell us a lot about our own relationship to Christ and our own call in the Lord as baptized Catholics and baptized Christians who've been literally through baptism baptized into Christ. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You know, programs for the last number of months are all available to you there, both Fire on the Earth and Food for the Journey. And then our television programs, The Choices We Face and Crossing the Goal are there. And then lots of really good products on the website, that a fair number of things that are free, booklets, articles, and things that will, I think, really build you up. So if you've never gone, take a minute to go to renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net, and just browse around and take a look at what's there. There's a lot of helpful material there, and you can also see the different international missions that we've been engaged in for some time, for many years now, but we'll be doing about 40 missions this year in Central Europe, Eastern Europe, Africa, Asia, a little bit in the Middle East, hopefully. So give it a look. But today I want to pick up where I left off yesterday. First, I'll just begin with a little summary. I'm in chapter 26 of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Paul had been arrested because of his belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he was proclaiming it. So the temple, the Pharisees, the leaders of the temple, and the temple guards arrested him. And so he's now brought before King Agrippa. And in the context of being before the king and his whole cohort, he's trying to communicate what happened to him and that how he's being consistent, that he's not throwing off his Jewish identity, but what he's found in Christ is he's found the Messiah, or the Messiah found him and revealed himself to him. And so it's the famous story where Paul, who was heading off to Damascus from Jerusalem to pursue these converted Jews who were preaching in synagogues in Damascus, he was going basically to arrest them. And Paul was fine with doing whatever needed to be done because he thought these people were blaspheming against God, his commandments, they were apostatizing, and they needed to be punished for it. And so Paul describes the passion in his heart to do that very thing. He said, this is verse 11 in chapter 26, and he said, "And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme," that is, blaspheme against Jesus. "And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So that's how zealous Paul was for his understanding of what it meant to be Jewish as a leader, as a Pharisee, that he was filled with raging fury against those Jews who were apostatizing, those Jews who were denying their faith, those Jews who were claiming Jesus was risen from the dead and that somehow he himself was God. So it's on that road, it's on that way that Paul and his companions who have been commissioned by the leaders in Jerusalem to go arrest them and to deal with them, it's on that road where Paul is suddenly surrounded by light, so bright, so striking that he fell to the ground, as did his companions. And from the light, he hears a voice. It's a really powerful image. Remember, Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." And from that light, Jesus speaks to Paul. And Paul says, "Who are you?" Jesus says to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" As I mentioned yesterday, there's an amazing revelation there about the body of Christ. What we talk about in the church is the mystical body of Christ, the union between Christ, the head of the body, and his members. That we're baptized into Christ. It's not just a symbol, it's a reality. We are baptized into sharing the very life of Jesus Christ, and we're part of that one new man, that body that Jesus is forming in obedience to the Father, of those who want the Father, who want to follow God, who want to say yes to Jesus and receive his offer of salvation. "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." I was like, "How could I be persecuting you?" Paul's entire paradigm, his whole mind, his whole understanding is being transformed here in a very dramatic way by encountering the person of Jesus Christ. Now, all of us are called to encounter Christ. And very few of us will ever have probably the kind of conversion experience that St. Paul had, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit comes to every single human heart that's open to him to confirm the truth about who Jesus Christ is, that he's the Lord. This is why the proclamation of the gospel is so essential, the good news about Jesus, for us to be able to speak about Jesus and to share with him with others, because the Holy Spirit wants to empower the words that we speak, wants to enlighten the mind and open the heart of the person who's hearing, because the Holy Spirit wants to bring about an encounter between the Lord and that person. And the Word of God, the gospel, the good news, and our bearing witness to the reality and majesty of Jesus active in our own life, this is the place of encounter for many people. So you see it unfolding here with Paul. And then Jesus told Paul, rise up and stand upon your feet. So he rises, and Jesus said, I've appeared to you for a purpose. And he commissioned him. He first commissioned him to serve him. So he's calling for Paul's complete loyalty and his whole time, talent, treasure, and his whole life to be at the feet of Jesus, ready to serve the purposes of Jesus, his mission, his word, his plan of salvation. And he said, to serve and to bear witness to what I show you. As I mentioned yesterday in the program, this is the same thing with everyone who's a follower of Jesus. We don't have the same maybe level or breadth of responsibility that St. Paul has, but each of us has a responsibility and a personal call from Jesus to be his servant, to wait upon the Lord, to extend the Lord's mission in the world, to be about what the Lord's about, and to bear witness to what he's done in our lives. And so I ended here yesterday where Jesus talks about the core and the nature of the evangelization that Paul is commissioned to do, the spreading of the good news, and what the good news is intended to do. Verse 14, he says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, that is the whole world of the whole non-Jewish world. Paul is being sent to that world. He says, I'm sending you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. There's the heart of why Jesus came. Here's the understanding from the scripture, from God's perspective, of what freedom means, what it means to walk in freedom, what it means to live in the light, to be truly enlightened. I mean, we're living at a time when the culture's enamored by, and society's enamored by the sheer magnitude of knowledge that we've acquired, and the things that the application of that knowledge and technology has permitted us to accomplish and to do. And so we consider ourselves enlightened. Some of the leading sort of secular figures have talked about that we're the brights. We're brighter than anybody who's come before us, and that we have hope for future because our minds are enlightened. The acquisition of knowledge, as valuable as that is, from a biblical perspective, is not enlightenment. To be enlightened is to have our minds touched by the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to know him. And in knowing Jesus, we know God. Because apart from God's action of revealing himself and revealing himself fully in the person of Jesus Christ, no matter how much technical knowledge we have, we can't access the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is the most important knowledge we could possibly have, because it's a knowledge that saves us. It's a knowledge, it's a revelation of our origin as well, of our destiny. What kind of creature am I? Why am I made the way I am? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? How can I find happiness? How can I find this freedom that I long for and the joy that my heart so much desires? And scripture is very clear. We're in the dark when we don't know God, because it's impossible to know who we are, which is the deepest knowledge we need to know. So to move us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, where does the darkness come from? The Bible talks about as the darkness of sin, which is that desire in us, the actual things we do that turn us away from God or deny God or suppress the reality of the truth about who God is. And it's the kingdom of darkness, that this dark world, the dimensions of this world that we inhabit, this beautiful creation God has made, there's dimensions of this. We could see it. We see it all the time. And people really feel it now in a way where there's a sense of fear and almost foreboding and a kind of anxiety that characterizes society. It seems to be growing. The fear of terror, the fear of environmental disaster, the fear of crazy leaders, whatever it is, people are anxious, and we see that anxiety and that trouble flaming up in our inner cities. The amount of killing, like, for example, in the city of Chicago, people feel it in their bones that something is wrong, but we don't seem to be able to really ultimately do anything about it, to really stop it. Where does that dimension of human existence come from? What's that all about? Death, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, corruption, division, rage, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Jesus said those things are in the human heart. He revealed, he said, be honest, look at yourself. These are the things that defile people, that keep them in darkness. And it's not out there. It's not that guy out there. Just it's actually in me. Our hearts are darkened. Our something in the core of our being is fallen. The church talks about it as original sin. There's something disordered and wounded and broken and alienated within us. And so Scripture talks about that as darkness. And the source of that darkness is a being, Satan, who himself was the light bearer, the angel who rebelled against God and fell, and now is seeking to establish his own rule and reign by dominating the human heart, enslaving human beings, seducing them into sin and rebellion against God, and insisting, we don't need God. We have everything that we need. In fact, God just gets in the way of our becoming everything that we can be here and now. So Jesus said very plainly to Paul, I'm sending you for a purpose, and that purpose is to open people's eyes and to help them turn. Turning is a conversion word. Turning from the direction that I'm moving in, a direction that's away from God and moving toward God, moving toward the light. Again, this is why preaching the gospel is so important, because it's through faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. It's through that word that light comes forward so people can turn to the light as we talk about the person of Jesus Christ and proclaim his good news. And so Jesus is saying to Paul, turning them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God and God's power, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What's Jesus after? The forgiveness of sins. Jesus came, friends, to die. He came to become the sacrifice for human sin, because sin divides us from God. Sin is the refusal to say yes to God with everything we have. And it's saying no to him in concrete deeds and actions that turn us away from him, that lead us into our expressions of disobedience to his will and purpose. So Jesus has come and he died on a cross so that our sins, that which separate us from God, could be forgiven. And the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of our hearts, makes it possible for us to become a temple of the living God, where God comes to dwell in us. And this beautiful line here, you see Jesus' end game, so that all of us whose sins are forgiven, we can take our place, those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is, our place with God in the body of Christ and ultimately in heaven. That's Jesus' goal. That's Paul's commission. And we have that same call in our lives. Hope you can join me again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.